Good evening.
Good evening.
And welcome to God's house as we gather to worship Christ, our Savior. I do have one announcement. Under the mailboxes in the hallway, there is this document. It's the letter that I was talking about in Bible class on Sunday about how the state of Minnesota has passed a law that, takes away our privileges as Christians and Christian churches that believe the Bible. And in any hiring practice in the future, if we do not hire someone that we would say should not be working in the church or in our school, the state of Minnesota could penalize by fines and other matters. This is an invasion of the church's responsibility, and I'm going to say it, this is Antichrist. I want you to pick this up, take it home and read it. There is a link to a video of the discussion in the House as the Judicial Committee was voting on whether a bill to change what has happened was shot down. You need to know. So pick it up, take it home, read it, take the time to watch the video. It's about 28 minutes. Now with that depressing news, I want to tell you, no matter what happens, no matter what the world throws at us, as Christians that believe and know that the scriptures are true, that God is real, and what he said is a fact, we rejoice in knowing that we are God's forgiven children. And that's why we come to worship. I want to read the first paragraph on page 2, and then we'll begin with the hymn 425. Tonight and next week will be a two-part look at the fourth chapter of Jonah. Nineveh deserves God's anger for their wickedness. Jonah likewise deserves God's anger for his stubbornness and pride. We deserve God's anger for our sin, but Jonah tells us who God is. Listen to this. You are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. We sing the hymn, and we'll stand at the last verse.
Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Praise to you, O Christ. Alleluia.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion on those who fear him. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Please be seated. Jonah chapter 4, we read verses 1 through 11. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is not this what I have said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and relenting from disaster. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And the Lord said, Do you do well to be angry? Jonah went out of the city and sat to the east of the city, and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade till he should see what would become of the city. Now the Lord God appointed a plant and made it come up over Jonah that it might be a shade over his head to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant. But when dawn came up and the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint, and he asked that he might die and said, it is better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, do you do well to be angry for the plant? And he said, yes, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die. And the Lord said, you pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left? And also much cattle. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name, that I may walk in your truth. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Your word is a lamp to my feet, and a light to my path.
Please turn your hymnals to hymn 837. Unto him who has washed us of our sin with his own blood, and who has made us to be kings and priests and to his Father and God. To him be all power and glory forever and ever. Amen. Last Wednesday, God offered forgiveness and a promise to relent from his warning of destruction. If the Ninevites would turn from their evil ways. They did. They repented. From the king all the way down to the lowly poor in the street. When one sinner repents, the Bible says there's rejoicing in heaven. In fact, Jesus said that from Luke 15. We're going to begin at verse 8. Or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I found the coin that I had lost." You see, that coin meant the difference between living and dying. Just so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. God's people rejoice, praising God for another person who comes to know Jesus Christ and enters the kingdom. Over the years, I've had the privilege of watching people who, at the moment they believe, there's something changes in their eyes. There's something that happens. And as a Christian, there is nothing more cool than that. When they realize that God is real and that the sin that damns them is now forgiven. Pastors break down in tears at such times. We read, when God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. How excited we are when a person comes to Christ. Then that person is baptized. They become a child of God. Most often, from my point of view, however, I do not always see people rejoicing. It's just another thing that the church does. Big deal. Just one more person not going to hell, not a big deal. But to be with Christ in eternity, should be. It often is more like, okay, one more person to fill the pew and a bit more money in the coffin, in the offerings. We're not here to fill the pews. I want you to think about that for a minute. And we are not here to see the offerings increase. We are here to preach Christ. And if you're faithful, if we are faithful to that, the pews and the offerings will be taken care of. We need to get our priorities right. The church exists to proclaim Christ, to proclaim forgiveness, to call people to repentance. God will do the rest. There's a part of me that says when I teach stewardship, don't have a budget. Now, I actually think a budget's important, but aside from that, maybe we shouldn't focus so much on that. Focus on why we are the church and why we're here. The side effects of preaching the gospel and people coming to Christ and people getting stronger in Christ, it's called discipleship. We grow. And even numbers, that's an aside. It's a side effect. Focus on Christ. Proclaim the gospel. Next big question. How many ways are there to ruin your life? Or mess it up really badly? Sometimes having one's life destroyed is no fault of your own. It's what happens as we live in a broken world. Yet other times we are seriously complicit. I mean, as simple as, I really did a dumb thing the other day, and I'm going to pay for it. We heat our garage, and I forgot to shut the garage door. Yeah, you can laugh. I was dumb. My dear wife, she says, that's all right. We'll pay for it. And I thought, wow. But sometimes, as complicit as we are, we forget about God's goodness. And then there's this one. As a believer resists the will and work of God, there are always consequences for not being on the same page with God. Now, I know I'm different than everybody else because I'm always on the page with the Lord, right? Don't you think that. In 1974, I had received orders in the wisdom of the United States Navy to leave my wife, our first child, and her pregnant with a second to go to NES Pax River, Maryland for an unspecified time. That was not wise. I was there to take care of my family, and the Navy was getting in the way. And I said, Lord, why are you letting this happen? Now, this didn't happen quite this way, but it was almost as if the Lord says, wake up, Domke, you just got orders from the United States Navy, you're going to Pax River. Actually, that was not a bad time, those 4 months, away from Linda, away from Christy, not there to help her. It was the reverse. She was on Guam, I was on the East Coast of the United States. I was not on the same page of the Lord because, well, my way is better. At the evidence of God's grace and mercy to the Ninevites, you heard how Jonah reacts. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly. In other words, he was ticked off. He was angry. And if he could have, he would have been spitting nails. And he prayed to the Lord and said, this is one of those prayers, that says, Lord, what are you doing? You ever had a prayer like that? Sure you have. Well, Lord, is this not what I said when I was yet in my country? I knew you were going to forgive him. I knew it. Well, of course. Jonah says, that's why I went to Tarshish, because I want nothing to do with forgiving those people. For I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. Did you hear that? That is the nature of God Almighty. Have you ever not been on the same page as God? Yep. A new resident was walking down the street of his town and noticed there was a man struggling with a washing machine at the doorway. He went over right away to help him, and they struggled, and they pushed, and they pulled, and there was no way of getting this thing through the door. And finally, after several minutes of fruitful effort, they quit. And they're standing there. They looked as if they were exhausted. And finally, when they caught their breath, the first man said to the homeowner, well, we'll never get this washing machine out of there, or in there, I should say, to which the homeowner says, well, I was trying to move it out. How many times within the church we push and pull because we're not on the same page? Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life. Jonah was so angry he wanted to die rather than see these people forgiven. And the Lord said to
him. And this, I don't know why this is hard for me to read, but do you do well to be angry? Jonah went out of the city and sat in the east of the city and made a booth. And he sat there, probably glowering, glowing, mad. Here is a clear and definite communication breakdown. The truth is, we only get things done when we are in agreement. We need to be either going in or going out, but either way, we should be going the same way. We need to be on the same page. Why are we here? We're here to tell the world that Jesus Christ is God and man, that he came to save us by forgiving us our sins, by dying on the cross. That is our aim. This is true of families, and this is true of the church. Families get so mucked up when they don't go the same way. Following Christ makes all the difference in the world. Now, I'm going to say this. And in the next Wednesday will be my last time here, and then I'm going to be gone for several weeks at Redeemer. So I'm going to say this. If you're not going to Bible study at Trinity Lutheran Church, you better start. That's the law. Why? Because the measure of a healthy church is how many people are in the Word, whether it's Sunday morning or some other time. We need to be in the Word. In fact, being in Bible study is, in a fashion, more important than worship. Why? There we get to know God. And there God reveals us to ourselves. And there God gives us the Great Commission and all the promises of eternal life and forgiveness and the joy of knowing that we are the children of God and that we are reaching out to the people on the sidewalks. It is on the pages of the inspired text of the Bible that God lays out all these important truths. His truth, his page, as it were, for us to stand upon. We are to take godly moral standards or stands, even on those moral topics which have been politicized, like abortion, like radical environmentalism, like same-sex marriage, and to love those people who are been deceived, to tell them the truth. It does require us to be informed, like that information letter that I want you to pick up or read. The biblical church is threatened by the state of Minnesota, and you need to know it, to pray about it, and to love the enemies of God's church. Jonah had found that he was on a different page than his God. He hated the Assyrians. And they were, frankly, from a human standpoint, easy to hate. If you were to wrap up in one package Nazi Germany, Iraq, and Iran at their worst, you would get a feel of what it was like to live under the power of Assyria. The Assyrians were arrogant and cruel conquerors, and Jonah despised them. To tell Jonah that he was to preach to the Assyrians was like asking a man whose family had been killed by terrorists to offer those terrorists forgiveness of sin, to love them. Forgiveness? Nah. Not in me, Jonah said. Nothing would have pleased Jonah more than to see the whole bunch of them wiped off the earth. Those Assyrians may have mattered to God, but they did not matter to Jonah. When you see a person walking down the street in Bemidji, just ask, at least ask the question to yourself, does that person know Jesus Christ? When you see somebody in church you don't know,
Go greet him. Say, hi, I don't know you. I would like to know you. Are you a member here? Oh, I've been a member here for 30 years. Yeah. The Assyrians were a cruel and heartless people. They gloated over their victims and enjoyed their atrocities. They would hold their victims down, reach into their mouth, and pull out their tongues. They would skin their victims alive. They would build pyramids of human skulls outside of the conquered city. Their cruelty was known throughout the world, and frankly, Jonah hated them for it. Do you blame him? I don't. I understand. He did not want them blessed, forgiven, or to spend eternity with any one of them. He had no desire to see these people turn from their sin. He wanted them to receive the judgment that they so richly deserved. While I was stationed on Guam, and I know I've been telling stories from Guam, and I don't know why, but it's coming. One night, Sunday night in church, there was a police detective telling what happened to him. That's why I know the story. On Guam, there were a number of criminal gangs, and he was close to an arrest of one of the leaders of it, a particularly vicious man. He sent a couple of his men a Sunday afternoon. The detective was in the front yard playing with the kids along with his wife. This is true. I'm not making this up. Two men drove up near the house in the street, rolled the window down, and murdered the man's wife in front of him and the children. I don't know what I would do. The first thing I'd probably want to do is take revenge. But you know what this man did? I still wonder about this. The trial, conviction, and sentencing, he started going to the prison, witnessing to the man that murdered his wife. He told him about Jesus and forgiveness. Over the course of about a year, the man became a Christian, was baptized in the prison. The police detective and the man that had murdered his wife became friends. This is why Jesus came into this world, to forgive sin, to remove the separation that separates us and the separation that separates us from our Creator. Wow. That's the work of the gospel. Jonah's evil was an unforgiving heart. Jonah and the Lord went on completely to stand on different pages. Jonah was on a page which was condemning. The Lord's page was mercy. And boy, am I glad personally that he is. Because this old sinful reprobate man has nothing to claim except Jesus and what he did on the cross for me and for you. See, the Lord responds to evil with, yes, the law, but also the gospel. The Lord does not want people to respond to evil with evil, especially between each of us. He wants us all to pull in the same direction. Loving, forgiving, and that within the context of telling, speaking, confessing, proclaiming the whole counsel of God's word, not the parts that we like. Jonah doesn't want God to be gracious and forgiving. Well, that's not it exactly, Jonah wants God to be gracious and merciful and loving to him and his people, the people that he cares about. He does not want God to love the Ninevites. He wants the people of Nineveh, those terrible pagan enemies of Israel, to get it in the neck. I must confess, there are times when I feel for Jonah. I think I understand. I am so very happy that God is merciful and gracious to us all. I am eternally blessed that the Lord has undying love for my friends and my family, yes. But there are some folks who come to mind now and then that I really wonder about. There might even be one or two I can't figure out why God could love them at all. And then I am reminded of a central principle of our faith. Quote, God so loved the world, that's us and everybody that Jesus died for. Edomites, Moabites, Amalekites, Jebusites, and even Ninevites. Perhaps you've seen the movie Forrest Gump. There's a classic one-liner that goes this way, quote, life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get, unquote. But there's another line worth noting. The particular scene has one of the central characters returning to her old home after her father had died. The old farmhouse is dilapidated and abandoned. As she reflects on the sexual abuse that she endured as a child, she is overcome by rage and begins throwing rocks at the house. Finally, she falls to the ground exhausted. And this scene closes with Forrest Gump saying, quote, sometimes there just aren't enough rocks. But Christ's love, Christ's forgiveness is never ending. Revenge doesn't work. In an interview with the magazine Business 2.0, Peter Drucker tells the story of his father's friend, Eugenia Meyer, who served as chairman of the Federal Reserve Board under President Hoover. Meyer explained how the Great Depression began as a mild recession in Europe and could have been kept in check by simply stopping a run on the banks by printing more currency. Meyer went to Hoover with his plan after the 1932 elections. Hoover said that as a lame duck president, he couldn't act without FDR's approval. So Meyer went to FDR and received the very coldest response when FDR said, this is Hoover's watch. Hoover and FDR never did meet in those intervening months between the election and when FDR was made the president, because they couldn't get on the same page. They hated each other. All this depression could have been avoided. Question. Who was at the Passover? I mean, the Last Supper. Jesus, his apostles. Something that took place there is important, especially when it comes to Judas Iscariot. Judas and Jesus were not on the same page. You probably know that. But just as God continued to love Jonah with his vindictive heart, so in Christ, he continued to love not only Judas, but all of the apostles. That's true of you and me. No matter what's going on here or here, God still loves you. The apostles, they weren't on the same page. They wanted Jesus to be king. They wanted him to take over Israel. They wanted him to kick out the Romans, to restore the kingdom of David and Solomon. But that was not why Jesus came. He came to go to the cross. He came to die, to forgive sin, not only for us, but the whole of the world. Jesus came to die on the cross to forgive the sins of the Romans, of the Jews, the Americans and Africans and Mexicans and Canadians and Brits, the Europeans and Russians and Vietnamese, Koreans, Japanese, the Chinese. That's who he died to forgive. In all honesty, we are all sadly on the same page, but not on the page of the Lord. The Bible in Romans 3 puts it this way. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. On God's page, we put away our grudges and thoughts of revenge and come to the table of the Lord as prepared for us. And there, in the real presence of Jesus, we not only survive our grudges, we overcome them. In the power of his broken body and shed blood, he makes us new. Gregory Seltz, president of the LCMS's Center for Religious Liberty, wrote recently, I want to read a couple of paragraphs. I still owe you some time. I'm just checking. Titled, Grace is Not a Government Program. An ad for the U.S. Marine pictures a sword with these words beneath it. Quote, earned, not given. If you want to become a Marine, you have to earn the right to be called a Marine through sacrifice, hardship, and training. If you get it, you deserve it. In this world, there are jobs that only Marines can handle. There are even efforts that demand special forces like the Navy SEALs. When it comes to maintaining law and order in this world, there have to be people who say this far and no farther so that we can all live in relative peace. But here's the problem. There are some issues beyond the best efforts of the Marines or SEALs, beyond the most advanced technology, beyond the wealth of all billionaires combined, and beyond the combined forces of all of us, our governmental agencies. What happens when those issues overwhelm you? What happens when those kinds of problems hit all of us? What then? The season of Lent is a time in the church year when people come to grips with what it means to be mortal due to the sinful rebellion of our hearts. It's a time to take an honest look at ourselves and even our best efforts from God's point of view. Noted scientist Albert Einstein correctly described the extent of the problem when he said, "It is easier to denature plutonium than to denature the evil spirit of man." That's why it takes the cross, I'm adding. Our real problems stem from humanity's sinful heart and rebellious spirit. Today, we even feel we have the right to challenge the God who created and redeemed us as if he answers to us instead of us being accountable to him. His article goes on. Jonah knew God's intentions. Jonah knew God's gracious and compassionate character. Jonah knew the love that God has for all people, but his sinful mind got in the way. God does not like or want the death of the wicked, nor should we. There is a point where each of us will stand before the living God, and we must give an account. We will have only one response to God. Father, I confess I have sinned. I have only one hope. That is in Christ Jesus, my Savior, my Creator, my Redeemer who loves me and died to give me life through forgiveness. Until that time, we have the joy to know that only that we are forgiven before we stand before God. But we, in the unity of spirit, we get to work with one another. We get to worship with one another. We get to tell people about Jesus with one another. We get to speak the whole truth, no matter what the state does, no matter what the government does or doesn't do, no matter what our neighbors say or don't say. We get to tell them about Jesus who loves them, who died for them, like us. And the true gospel, as we proclaim it to everyone, the Lord leads us into eternity. In this congregation and on the streets of Bemidji, we have the joy of telling people about Christ. The Lord loves you. You are forgiven. Let us rejoice in that. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know what it says about the pastor when he gets done preaching and finds himself bawling at his own sermon. We'll now receive the offerings of God's people for the work of the kingdom. Would you please stand for prayer? Heavenly Father, you loved us without limit. You did not withhold your Son from the cross for our benefit. Give us a heart for your word. Give us a heart for the lost. Help us to love one another. And make us bold in that forgiveness we have received from you to proclaim Christ crucified to the whole world. Father, send men to become pastors. Grant us here at Trinity and the Redeemer our own pastors. Thank you for hearing us, Father. Thy will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, your healing hand upon my wife Linda, for those who may be sick among us, again, in the name of Jesus, amen. Let my prayer rise before you as incense. Sacrifice. pray together as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. O Lord, hear my prayer,
and let my cry come to you.
Almighty God, by your great goodness, mercifully look upon your people, that we may be governed and preserved evermore in body and soul through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. O God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide with us all. Please be seated. We sing the closing hymn, hymn 878. If we do it fast, I'm going to pay you back the 6 minutes.